there are other prayer books, or rather other books of liturgy that cannot be defined as prayer books, but are part of the religious liturgical activity. And one in particular stands out. It is the Passover Haggadah. This is the text that is recited by Jews on the eve of Passover, on the night, the first night of Passover, describing the events of the Exodus. And it became not just an important text. These Haggadahs were often lavishly designed. The artwork was as impressive as the text itself. And since the invention of the printing press, thousands of Haggadahs have been produced. I don't know if more Haggadahs or more Sidurim, or more prayer books. The name in Hebrew for prayer book is Sidur. But clearly these became books that every Jewish household would have had. And Haggadahs, by the way, became extremely popular among bibliophiles. They actually became collector's items. And this issue of bibliophiles brings us to one of our final points. Jews, in general, were brought up as bibliophiles. The book had a revered status in Judaism. The text, even before the printing press came into being, the scroll and then the printed book. In Jewish tradition, when a book falls to the ground, the custom is to pick it up and kiss it. And this has a tremendous impact on children who are taught from the early stages, right, of their education that a book is not something to be handled lightly. Old books that are no longer in use, that have simply fallen into disuse because of hundreds of years having passed, are not simply discarded, but instead they are stored or buried so as not to be tossed around, as it were, in the streets. This custom is known as geniza, the storing or hiding of a book. Usually it would be a sacred text, but there might be other books that also wind up in a geniza context. In the late 19th century, in the old city of Cairo, one such repository of ancient books was discovered. It's known as the Cairo Geniza. It is one of the most fascinating discoveries in the history of Judaism. In the late 19th century, we found hundreds and thousands of fragments of books, texts that we had known, texts that were not even known to us at that time. We have the handwriting of Maimonides himself. We have texts going back to the Second Temple period for which we did not have the Hebrew original until the Cairo Geniza. And this type of repository served as the source for Jewish scholarship for the last 100 years. And so if we put all of this into some sort of perspective, we might refer to Jews as people of the book. For them, you opened the book to know how to behave. You opened the book as a way of not just learning what God wants of you, but almost as a way of religious devotion. One studies from the book as a means of worshiping. And so the book takes on a tremendous sanctity and a centrality in the Jewish mind. When books were printed, as we enter into the 16th century, this introduced a vast amount of learning to the masses of Jews. We must remember that until the invention of the press, most Jews could not afford books. And books were the property of scholars and of rabbis. Beginning in the 16th century, we encounter a popular phenomenon of Jewish learning. Everybody now has a prayer book. Everybody now has a Haggadah. Most people might have some edition of the Bible. And the library in a Jewish home becomes one of the most important, and possibly the most important, room in all of the household.